Meeting order, and if we get to a roll call.
Okay, so we have Commissioner Alatorre.
Here.
Commissioner Caudillo, Commissioner Juarez, Commissioner Langell, Commissioner Strong.
Here.
Commissioner Torres.
Here.
And Chair Hooker.
Here.
Commissioner Caudillo is here.
And Caudillo is here, great.
Okay, so first order is to review the minutes. I've looked them over. Anybody else have any comments?
No. Motion to approve.
And Roddy, we got the answers to your questions.
Oh, yes. Oh, awesome. Sounds great.
I'll give you my copy.
There's a copy right there.
And I'll take this.
Thank you.
Did you get a copy? Yeah, why give that to you, and Kev, you can just throw it.
Sure. Oh, sir.
Okay, so if there's no questions on her comments on the minutes, they get a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion approved.
Second.
I was here, so I was there for.
I'll second it.
Okay, so minutes approved.
That's a big motion, so all those signify by saying.
Yeah, all those.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, there we go. Okay, next, public comments, then look at where the public comments. The next action is to review the GMOC report.
All right, I can walk us through it. Would you like to start by mentioning some of the highlights in the CARES memo?
Sure, so me and Kim worked on the memo, try to highlight some of the police issues that we've had and library issues, and try to highlight some of the, well, start with library first. We know it's not going to be changed until millennial 16th year, consecutive year on library of non-compliant. The one thing I didn't put on here, which I wasn't sure we wanted to talk about, was the issue that you brought up about where the money went and how they're going to pay it back.
Or how they're going to put that money back in the fund.
Right. I had thought about that, but I wasn't sure if that was the right place for it.
What fund is this? The library fund?
There was some sort of DIF or TIF set in place to collect fees from the residents of the Rancho Del Rey subdivision.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You brought that up the last time.
For the Rancho Del Rey library that sat in the fund for X amount of time.
Yeah, when the DIF was collected, it was put into, you know, a big pool that was shared by all public facilities. It wasn't designated specifically for libraries. So obviously, public safety always trumps libraries, and funds were used for police station, fire stations, things like that. Or not to construct a new fire station, but were set aside for future. There was actually a newspaper article that came out a couple years ago when Armida Torres was the chair. Do you recall that from being in the UT? She was interviewed, and it was about this this library and the status of it. Sorry, I could have made a copy of that article for you, but I can send that to you for reference.
So the money wasn't designated for libraries, and it was just put in the general fund.
In a general PIF-DIF fund. Right. Now, do you have an update on that, Scott? I think they have separated it now, and there's funds available, but I think that staffing is currently.
That is part of it.
Yeah.
I think, when the Public Facilities Development Impact Fee Program was adopted in 2006, and there are seven categories, and the city assesses fees on a, for residential developments and other developments. And there are seven bins that they go into, and one of them is libraries, and there's also major recreational facilities. There's a total of seven. I don't remember them all offhand, but I think As far as the funding of the libraries is concerned, my recollection is consistent with Kim's, is that there was a determination and funds were allocated for public safety purposes, and it was prioritized in that manner. But I don't have any detailed information in that regard. I can get some if
well, the bottom line is, based on Commissioner Altora's concern, is that the adjacent property owners were assessed a tax or a fee that was put into this library DIF, and then whatever, a decision was made by people unknown that money was then transferred toward public safety.
Is that
statement of fact?
That's what we got to clarify. Was it a library DIF, or was it just a general?
I believe
that the PIF DIF is one account, and it's not necessarily segregated where money is put specifically for specific purposes. And so there's a bit of fluidity to that account where, based upon the priorities that council makes at that time, that there's an ability to move money from one facility to another facility based upon priorities that are adopted by council.
Well, out of respect for Commissioner Altores, because we have one more meeting to finalize the report, right? We're going to go through the first read today and get everybody give their input relative to the draft. So is there any way then that this issue could be researched and more information provided? Because I want to be sensitive to Alatora's concern is that, but the thing is, if you put a statement, a controversial statement, if you will, into a GMOC staff report, you don't want it to be inaccurate. Mm-hmm. Exactly. If you're going to come out, again, I hate to use this anecdote, if you're going to come out firing bullets, then you better make sure that you have the right, you have your act together. So is that possible? Then we can get that?
Yes, absolutely.
Or maybe even the actual verbiage in the
establishment of the PIF DIF.
Yes, back from 2006, you said, Scott?
Right.
Yeah, if we just get that.
There's a Nexus study, which links the collection of the fees with the public facilities, so I can provide that if that's helpful.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think that the issue is what was the money collected for? Or the public told it was collected for? What was it used for? And is there any, do those match?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was just PIF DIF and it was put in a quote, that fund.
Right.
And, it's for public safety, libraries, everything. Okay, understand.
So you're looking for the mechanics of how the PIF DIF works.
Right, because if there's nothing untoward about it, then it's a dead issue.
Right. Because if they were told it was for libraries and it wasn't, okay, that's one issue. But if it was just put in a PIF DIF fund,
it's like a discretionary.
Right.
That is the
discretionary.
Way it's set up. And, and it's been in finance documents for several years that we get from the finance department when we do the fiscal questionnaires, is that some of that PIF DIF money is used to pay off debt service. So when we, collect a certain amount of money, it's not all going directly into, the funds to, construct the buildings. So I don't know how long that's going to go on.
I understand. It's just to have a transparency of, what was the public told,
mm-hmm.
and what's being used for, and do they match?
Right.
I think that's really the concern.
Okay.
And if I could just add one more thing, because, I do represent that part of town. I am the commissioner for that area. It's just, full disclosure to the residents, I think, is important, because, if they were collecting monies for certain facilities and nothing was ever constructed, what did those residents get out of that money? Okay, we hired more police officers, we got more units on the street.
Right.
I mean, what was that? I mean, mm-hmm. something you can visually see. Mm-hmm. What did the residents get out of it?
Well, like this article, if you don't mind me just quoting, it's the title said, Chula Vista Sacrifices Library Services to Beef Up Public Safety. And it says that the original Rancho Del Rey Library was originally scheduled to be completed in 2005. Development fees were supposed to fund construction, but Chula Vista diverted fees to other projects, such as new fire stations and recreation facilities, record show.
So if I can interrupt, Kim, so with all that said, it's great. But again, if those monies were taken out of the Rancho Del Rey subunit to construct in other subdivisions of Chula Vista, I think that's what I have a problem with representing Northwest. If nothing was actually put back into that part of town.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the majority of the fees came from southeastern or northeastern Chula Vista, and that's where the facilities were.
So I think for the next meeting, I think that there is probably a report that provides you with that type of information, the financials of how it all, what is the procedure, and then how the money has been deposited in and then
used and expended.
I'm positive that there's a report somewhere, so I think that we can get that for you.
Okay, and then on that, is that still being collected, or is it stopped?
We still assess the PIF diff. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then that brings up another question.
So
if it's still ongoing, those monies are still being diverted, then I see your point is that, you know, I think the commission needs to opine on that issue. And, mm-hmm. you know, even though it may be technically valid to do, I mean, politically, maybe council should reconsider that. I mean, it's a legitimate issue.
And especially in lieu of these new financial vehicles, Measure A, you know.
And Measure P.
Thrown into the...
Right, exactly. No, absolutely. I totally hear you. So if we can get that by next meeting, and then we can deliberate, I guess.
Right, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's a statement to be made here.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure it's the accurate statement.
Yeah, totally agree.
You know, because like you said, you got other measures, funding stuff. That may not need to be used for this money anymore.
So whether or not you're prioritizing, continuing to prioritize public safety related to the PIF debt versus the libraries.
Right.
Right. And council members, other than Mary and Padilla, probably don't even know any of this. And they should know.
Yeah, they're pretty familiar with this stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but so both of them were council members back in the day.
No, I mean other than those two.
Let's see.
Yeah, the new council members probably don't know.
No.
Maybe McCandle.
Yeah,
maybe McCandle.
Yeah.
All right, so that was my only comment for libraries, was I wasn't sure. I knew that statement needed to be put in there. I just didn't know where, and I didn't have all the information to write a good,
right, we need more
good statement for that. Okay, the next.
So just so I'm clear, do you want to add something to your memo then?
I think based on what you give us next report, we may or may not add a few sentences there based on that.
Okay.
Right. Just to bring up the issue, I don't think it needs to go anywhere else. It's just a simple thing of, hey, you know, now that we have these other funding vehicles, you know, GMLC would recommend that something be done here, whatever that done is.
Well, can I make a suggestion? If staff can get... either through Lalani or Kim can get you that information as the chair prior to the meeting, how about you and Kim draft the language?
Right. Yeah.
And then you present it to the group, and then that way we're not going round and round.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How's that sound?
Okay,
so moving on to police. So again, for the 23rd year in a row, we're down level 1, level 2 for threshold standards. We're not strong. They have all their equipment, but staffing continues to be an issue. Long term, they're working to get new officers. I just saw the city's email, but they hired 5 new people, graduated academy, or 4, I don't remember what the exact number. So just continue doing that. Expansion of the program for East, or the drone program, I think that was a good issue to bring up. And then to extend that issue. The SANDAG report would be satisfied for the police station, or somewhat satisfied. Those were at least some of the highlights that Kim remembered. I remembered some of those.
Yeah. Can we recommend just some little revisions to this memo, or how does this work? Does anybody have some? Because I can wait till everybody else.
No, go for it.
Okay, so if I may, under libraries, you know, that's the second sentence where it begins, despite the low staffing, our libraries continue to exceed. If I may suggest inserting there this clause, the GMOC recognizes that notwithstanding budget shortfalls, comma, despite the low staffing, our libraries, you see what I'm saying?
Are you in the first or the second paragraph?
The second paragraph.
Second sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Right before despite.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you guys want to consider it, great. If not, that's cool. Just put in that the GMOC recognizes, notwithstanding budget shortfalls, comma, despite the low staffing, our libraries continue to exceed. Something. You know what I mean? And then, if I may, there's another one I want, again, relative to the GMOC. The last paragraph under police, on the second sentence, the last paragraph on the first page, where it starts, it is also important to note that Chula Vista's, instead of saying that, strike that out and say, although not meeting certain threshold standards, comma, the GMOC appreciates the fact that Chula Vista, you see what I'm saying? And the reason I'm suggesting this is to take away a little bit of the editorializing, make it more that the GMOC is opining on this, you know what I mean? That as a total, as a group. If that's okay with the chair.
Yeah, I'm okay. Makes sense.
Can we
capture that?
Yes.
For libraries, didn't we ask? I thought we had put. Oh no, there it is. Okay, yeah, the I was just reflecting back on my passport.
Right. And then.
But that's not in the recommendation, though.
Yeah.
That's under the library section.
Yeah, that's been long.
And then there was one more in this memo. And it's in the second page under Let me ask a question. Is that the on this thing on about the animal control, I mean, the only meeting that I didn't make was the one was there was no quorum. How did animal control come up?
When we did the city tour.
Okay. There was one insert. Oh, here it is. The second to last paragraph. The GMOC is looking forward to reviewing the metrics of existing thresholds and participating in a comprehensive review of the growth management ordinance in 2020. What I was going to suggest is that, again, and I'll talk about a subsequent email thread between me and council and the Planning Commission chair that I need to inform everybody about. That afterwards says the existing threshold standards, put a comma, and possible inclusion of new quality of life topics and threshold standards. Wait a minute, I'm reviewing the metrics of it, and participating in a comprehensive review of the group in 20. Oh, after 2020, and possible inclusion of new quality of life topics and threshold standards.
So, acknowledging we're doing two things now, right? And reviewing the growth management ordinance
in its totality. And then, which may include new quality of life topics, because there's 11 of them. And actually, I brought the handbook, and because I had misstated something, the 11 topics have not been changed since their origination back in 1987, and the adoption of the ordinance in 1991. Now, the ordinance itself that deals with the growth management, the chapter of the municipal code, that was last changed. I don't know because I was trying to find the citations, which provision. That was last changed in 2015.
Correct.
But the quality of life topics have not changed since then. All right. So let me tell you why I was thinking about including that in this letter. Is that I had informed you guys before that the Planning Commission was very interested in that once it knew about this comprehensive review, okay, that was going to be done for 2020, that it wanted economic development and housing to be considered as a new life and quality topic, okay? So I sent an email to council about how do we get this matter before the commission so that way it can opine on this in a formal process, right? Because under the ordinance, under the municipal code, this annual report is supposed to come to the Planning Commission for its review and approval before being submitted to the council.
Yes.
But what happens, if I may, it's all done in a joint meeting kind of a thing. So what? So I was informed that about getting this matter before the Planning Commission has to come either from the chair, which the chair has opined that, yes, let's get this before the commission.
I disagree with that, Jerome.
Let me finish my point. But to work with staff about how to do that, okay?
Yeah.
So, again, and I just talked to you a few minutes ago, okay, so let's make sure that we're on the same page. So, the issue then is how does a Planning Commission opine on these two matters getting included in the next comprehensive review go around?
Yeah, and if I could make a couple comments, Mike, to give him an idea on process. Is that okay at this point? Because how we did it in the past, okay, it's not just a one-shot deal. We have internal workshops. We report back to the Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm.
We have workshops. Then we go back and we take suggestions. And then we go back. It's a process that takes several months. It's
okay,
not just a one-shot deal, you know, to discuss internally and then, you know, with you, with stakeholders, with the community. We get a lot of input from various resources. And
so there's going to be a bunch of stakeholders involved.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And perfect.
Yeah. So I was going to also speak to this topic as well. I think from the last annual report, I think it was really clear by a couple of the council members and others that, you know, it is time, just like what you stated, how long has it been since the actual threshold standards have been looked at and refreshed? And as we all know, this world changes pretty quickly and even more so now.
Mm-hmm.
So it is time, and I think we had committed at that point at the last annual review that we needed to take a wholesale look at GMOC standards, threshold standards, ordinance, maybe the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a compressed schedule now. Our hope had been to look at this more thoroughly, but as a wholesale comprehensive review, we would never take it and just sit from a staff standpoint and come up with
standards.
And so we would want to involve the Planning Commission, the community at large. So it will be, as Kim suggested, a full-blown comprehensive review with all of the community involved.
Right.
So I'm not sure if like the next Planning Commission meeting that it's appropriate at that time to talk about it, or if we should, if this is a little ahead of the game when we start to look at the full work program and then
right,
involving.
Well, in my email thread, and then I'm going to read what Gabe said because he's the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if council has a different opinion of what he said, Is that commission, because I don't want to go through the whole thread, because also council also gave his opinion on how to get them, how to address the matter. But in the commissioners, this is the chair of the commission. Commissioner Torres, thank you for reaching out with your ideas. Housing and economic development are absolutely important for our city. I believe a few conversations with staff can help you refine your thoughts on this item, and then we can explore bringing this to the commission. Best regards. Because as council knows, in under commission comments, we've talked about this informally, okay? Because I informed the commission of what you guys were doing, right? This comprehensive review. And some of the commissioners have a very strong issue, interest in economic development and housing is up to why. So they were like, yeah, we want to make sure that that gets included in the process. But that was done in an informal manner, right? Just having a dialogue. So my concern, and I was going to give Kelly a call tomorrow, again, and my response to him, to Gabe, was, yeah, we need to figure out process, medium, and forum. Okay, how do we do this, right? How does the commission articulate to, with in conjunction with the GMOC, to council that when you guys go through this comprehensive review, the commission wants to make sure that these two issues are included. And that's, so how do we figure that out?
Yeah.
So Mike, you had some comments?
Please. Well, yeah, a couple things. I do disagree with Commissioner Torres' interpretation of what the chairman of the Planning Commission said. He didn't say, let's bring it back to the commission. What he said was, and he just read it to you, was that Commissioner Torres should talk with staff and come up with some kind of plan. That doesn't, nowhere in there does it say, we're going to bring this back to the commission.
Right.
Now, I did opine on how to get to the commission, and that's through a staff recommendation, the commission majority, or the chair.
We're talking planning commission?
The planning commission. Okay. But, so that's the way to do it. Now, Commissioner Torres has just said he wants to try to talk to Kelly tomorrow to see if Kelly, as a staff member, will put it on the planning commission agenda next week so that they can formally talk about the two items that he mentioned. I don't know that Kelly's going to do that. Kelly may not want to do it for reasons that have been said here, that this process is a lot more than just putting on having a little discussion at the commission. I don't know, maybe Kelly will say, okay, yeah, we should talk about it formally at the planning commission. I don't know. So without that having occurred yet, I don't think we should add anything into the sentence that Mr. Torres mentioned, only because it hasn't gone through the planning commission yet. And this sentence is pretty all-encompassing. I mean, it says the GMOC is looking forward to reviewing the metrics and existing threshold standards and participating in a comprehensive review of the growth management ordinance in 2020. Those words are that phrase, a comprehensive review, could include anything. Could include what Mr. Torres has said, which the Planning Commission has informally discussed. However, if Kelly doesn't want to put it on, then there's no recommendation, there's nothing from the Planning Commission.
Right.
And we kind of keep talking, Mr. Torres keeps bringing it up here, and but kind of forget about that. There's nothing official that's occurred.
Which was the point of my initial email thread to you.
Exactly.
So let's not be disingenuous, because you and I just had a few minutes ago about how to put it on the agenda with, when I talked to Kelly, a simple line item about having an open discussion.
Again, that procedurally, that's a way to do it.
Exactly.
But merit-wise, Kelly may not want to do it. I'm just saying procedurally, Kelly can put it on the commission, planning commission for next week, saying planning commission will discuss housing and economic development that may be recommended for the growth management review. Fine. I said, yes.
Well,
hold on. Yes, Mr. Torres can ask Kelly to do that. If Kelly wants to do it, he can do it. But he may not want to do it.
But again, according to your email, counsel, is that it's not just the decision of staff; it's also the decision of the chair. Now, if we're having a problem, you and I are having a problem on this. Then I tell you what: instead of having this discussion here, let's have that discussion offline, and we could talk about it with the chair.
No, we're not having a problem with this.
Okay.
I'm explaining to you legally what needs to be done procedurally. as far as merit-based and what the policy implications come from staff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care. You can talk to Kelly tomorrow. And I've said, here's, and the way you recommended to do it, I said, that's fine to do it.
Sure.
But Kelly may not want to do it. And if not, then we got to quit talking about it here. Because it's not a formal recommendation. It's not, we just can't keep bringing things up.
Did you hear me include economic development and housing in the memo?
Mr. Strong, you had a comment there?
Well, I was going to say, I think we should focus on what the outcome we're trying to get is. And if it's just, if we're trying to add that to the thresholds and there's a process to add it to the thresholds, then, you know, regardless, outside of trying to get it on the Planning Commission agenda, and that's going to be a part of this process
moving forward.
So let's just focus on that process. And because I think the discussion is kind of
and falling on that.
Yeah.
As part of the process, can we initiate something like that with a statement of concern?
At this point, so at the last joint planning meeting of the City Council and Planning Commission, staff did bring it up to the council members that we would be doing a comprehensive review. And we got input from some of the council members and planning commissioners at that time. Economic development did come up as a potential item to look at, along with some other things. So it's on the radar of all commissions at this point. And we are committed to starting the process in 2020 to move forward. And so making it a statement of concern, I don't know that it's necessary to do so,
I'm
because...
just reiterating what we're already doing.
Yeah, so...
Right. So go ahead.
Instead of putting something like that in the report, because it seems to be a little bit ahead of where we're at, we're kind of jumping the gun on the matter, would it be appropriate when we present the approved report to the council members, mayor, council members, we each get an opportunity to say a little something, to thank whoever we want, or you know, appreciate, or you know, would it be appropriate at that point, instead of putting it in writing in here, maybe to say a small little something?
So that's always part of the process. So I think for the statement here, I think it's too early to put that statement in there.
No problem. Okay. I'm not trying to usurp you guys. I'm not trying to do anything.
All I'm trying to do is...
And again, the purpose of the threat of email to council was, how does the Planning Commission convey its position through the process?
I'm just a little bit confused on why it's a little early, though, because, I mean, maybe I missed something here. So we're talking about putting on economic development and...
discussed it at some point, but you know, Lelani had it right.
I think that the topic, it's not that it's too early. I think for our report, the report is
even out.
Okay, this stuff is as we've already committed for 2020 to look in the future and look at a lot of stuff. And
Leave
we haven't identified what it is, it's just open up the door, see what's there.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, and come up with ideas.
Yeah, no disagreement, guys.
This idea is on a candidate, plus, you know, everything else.
Well, that's what I was saying, because I thought part of the report is supposed to be forward-looking, so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we're there yet, is my point.
So
one thing I want
to
bring up.
Yeah, I'm just trying to grasp on this, because I think.
One thing I just want to bring up in ours is, you know, I think, and I was going to wait till the chair comments on this, but, you know, is we need to come up with what the schedule is for doing this. And then seeing how we move forward after the report.
Yeah.
And that was a conversation I'm going to have, you know, after this. And then I know I saw Rodney's email about, you know, the questions he had on the
pension.
Right, on the whole
finance.
Oh, that was just something I talked to him about. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The action he had from a couple of meetings ago about, you know, what are the swim lanes of the GMOC based by charter? And I think that goes into our great attorney here to be able to help answer those questions. And should we be looking forward, vice back? Mm-hmm. Historically, we've been looking at the past tense of what's happened in the past year without looking of how the growth of the city is being impacted by what happens from the planning commission and everything else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's where I've had a problem over the few years is, okay, it's a growth management, but we don't manage any growth. We're always looking at the back.
So I'm going to, so if I could, if I may. I do think it's a little early to start tagging, like, ED, housing, the specifics. I, however, don't think it's too early to go back to what was our direction at the last annual meeting. Mm-hmm. And Kim and Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, if there were discussions at that point in time, because I know internally we've been talking, if at that time the direction was that are we looking at growth thresholds, are we looking at quality of life issues, if that was the direction that was given at last year, I think it's appropriate that when you talk about when we're looking forward for 2020 and a comprehensive review, that would be inclusive of quality of life issues that mm-hmm. we were directed to do at the last meeting. Pinpointing what those quality of life issues are, I think we should leave that door really open because
right.
we really don't know what they are
what
yet.
What I got
from... may want this, community may want something else. So let's leave that door a little bit open.
Mm-hmm. And again, just like Kim
yeah.
said, there's going to be a whole process where everybody can give their input.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
and then fine, you know, so
yeah.
then I'll still talk to Kelly tomorrow,
right.
see what he has to say. And then if nothing else, then through under commissioner comments, then I'll just let everybody
just
know we had this conversation and say, look,
get
you know,
on the record.
Get it on the record.
To
that there's going to be a whole comprehensive mm-hmm. deliberative process, and the commission at some future time
yeah.
can
right.
make.
To me, two things came out of last year's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
One was moving this report earlier,
right.
which we're doing now, so it affects the budget. Okay, and then two, doing the top-to-bottom review
right.
in 2020. Those
right.
are the two things.
Absolutely.
And I think we're doing one now,
mm-hmm.
and the other one would be you know starting
mm-hmm.
in 2020.
And even the comment that you're making now about forward thinking and future development and growth, that might be related to quality of life
exactly.
types of issues.
Yep.
So if you want to say that that's something that you would also like us to look at through the comprehensive review process, then that could be a direction to staff to do that as well.
Yep.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
Cool. We're good. We're all good.
Okay. So, any other comments there? If not, I'll turn the next section over to Kim and she can continue going through the document.
Okay. Any more comments on that?
No.
All right. So, I'll just go through chronologically. The first few pages are pretty much standard from year to year. When we talk about threshold standards, the members on the commission, the process, how it occurs. So I just updated the information there, updated the growth forecast information. That's all through pages. It ends at page 6. And then I updated the compliance summary on page 7. One little change in terms of formatting is that I put all the topics in alphabetical order this year. In the past, we've been putting them, those that were non-compliant at the beginning of the document, and then those that were not afterwards. There seemed to be a little bit of confusion by a reporter last year, you know, questioning that format, thinking that oh, if it's at the top, it must be more important than if it's number 4 or whatever. And that wasn't the intent. So I think that this just kind of makes it, you know. Yeah.
I did have one comment.
Yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but on this table in the past, the far right column, wasn't that something different? Wasn't it like a moratorium? Wasn't the word moratorium in there? Like, it was specific, now it's just saying tactics.
No, I don't think, I don't recall that ever being there, but I can go back and double check. And moratorium is actually, as we do this comprehensive review, it's outdated at this point, because, and Leilani can go into detail on this, about with the state legislature, you know, we basically can't prohibit growth because of the shortage of housing in this state. So moratorium really isn't a tool that is going to be at the disposal of this commission any longer. So
that would be updating the charter and stuff like that. That'd be one of the things updated.
Mm-hmm.
Have they gotten an actual opinion on that, Kim, on the law versus what GMOC the roles are?
Yeah, and if you because
I mean, I hear different things. It kind of sounds like it, but one supersedes the other. But have we got an opinion on that?
Or even Mr. Shirey, if you chime in.
Sure.
So I'll speak to the
we're frustrating him today.
I'll speak to the housing legislation. Since 2017, the state legislator has made it very well known that the priority for housing and the shortage of housing is of utmost state concern from an economic standpoint. So since 2017, there were 15 pieces of legislation passed. 2018, there were 16 pieces. And then in 2019, there were over 20 pieces of legislation. All the legislation is moving towards and has been that cities' hands are starting to get tied as to what they can approve. If a developer comes forward with a project that meets objective written standards and guidelines set in zoning, general plans, specific plans, that is the only, then you can't deny those projects unless there's a health and safety issue. So say the idea of moratorium libraries. We want a certain square footage of libraries, right? Is that a health and safety concern to stop development from occurring? It's not a health and safety related issue. It's a desire and a quality of life issue that we would like for our citizens, but the state has decided that the economics of California outweigh the wants or desires of a community. And therefore, if a project meets all design guidelines, all zoning requirements, general plan requirements, then that project should move forward, whether or not you've got enough libraries or not to serve that development. Mm-hmm. So that's the way the law reads now. It's called the Housing Accountability Act. In 2019, there's a new piece of legislation that actually prohibits states from instituting a growth management or growth cap from this point forward if you don't already have one.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which is why last meeting I said calling for a moratorium is really not worth opining on that because it's never going to happen. And Alana gave a fantastic presentation to the Planning Commission about all of this, which is part of why the Planning Commission had the opinion, you know, about that new light topic, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just the magic language in these statutes, we have to remember we're a charter city, so there are state statutes that don't apply to us. However, all the statutes Leilani's talking about, the legislature specifically put in that this applies to charter cities.
The first legislation didn't, and then in 2018 they said, oh, everybody's using that, we're not a charter.
Right.
So now we're going to apply to all cities.
Right. Yeah, and when they put that language in, and it hasn't been litigated yet, but that's pretty strong language that's
mm-hmm.
the legislative intent, and then we have to follow it just like a general lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then moving on to air quality, which is on page 8. It was compliant. However, you all did make a recommendation, and that was that the City Council direct the City Manager to support implementation of the commercial solar photovoltaic requirement in the City's Climate Action Plan, and in future CAP updates include a requirement for electric vehicle charging stations at multifamily developments.
And thank you, Claudia, for getting that right. Remember that we were trying to
Thanks to the recorder.
Yeah, to the recorder. Yeah. But yeah, that pretty much conveys what I was trying to say at that meeting, so thank you.
Good. And I know I wasn't at that meeting, but I think you had some questions that you asked Scott to
about follow the permits.
Up on. And did you want to bring that up at this time, Scott?
Yeah, this is an okay time. Unfortunately, it's not yet done. I've collected most of the information I need. There's an item in here that needs some fact checking, so I'll distribute it by email to the commission, if that's okay. The first question had to do with the 1700 solar photovoltaic system installations, and how many of those were at single family residences. And unfortunately, the city does not track that information, so we don't know the answer to that. One piece of information related to that is I understand that staff has been advised by photovoltaic installers that may not necessarily use the pre-wiring at PV in the PV installation due to liability concerns. Mm-hmm. Of the 1,700 PV installations, 7 have been on public property based on our permitting system. The question about the building height, that's the one I'm getting fact-checked. And then you asked a question about the 33 electric vehicle charging stations.
You had the permits. Mm-hmm.
And of those, only one is located on public property. The remainder of the installations are associated with residences and businesses.
Okay, cool.
And then the final item you asked about incentives for EV charging station installation on private property. And starting in 2020, multifamily residential projects will require to have 10% of their parking spaces pre-wired to support EV charging station installation. And this memo has a link to California Air Resources Board document that provides more information about EV charging station incentives.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Any questions about air quality? Okay, then moving on to drainage on page 9. Again, that one was compliant, but we did have a recommendation at the beginning of page 10 that the city council direct the city manager to support staff in exploring the potential to increase storm drain fees and mechanisms as outlined in California Senate Bill 231. You recognize that there is a shortage. That there's a possibility of raising funds to help close that gap. So that was a good recommendation. And then fire and emergency medical services, they were also compliant again this year. And there's no recommendation in regards to compliance, threshold compliance. However, you did have a recommendation in regards to the fire department talking about taking over the AMR services once that contract expires. So the issue would be the fire department's considering taking over ambulance services, and at the beginning of page 12, the recommendation is that the city council direct the city manager to require a fiscal impact analysis on the cost effectiveness of the fire department taking over AMR services.
Can I throw a couple out, Kim and
sure.
and Chair, is that I went through the minutes,
mm-hmm.
and there was actually a couple that were also talked about, and again, it's up to the commission if you guys want to include them,
yeah.
is that there was two other ones, that the city council direct the city manager to provide long-term financial projections of additional staff pension effect, and it relates to the AMR.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one, which is distinctively different,
mm-hmm.
was that the city council direct the city manager to support recruitment of paramedic and EMS firefighters. Because remember, the chief talked, we had a
mm-hmm.
big conversation about all that,
mm-hmm.
about how he really needed
mm-hmm.
those that staffing.
Mm-hmm.
So should we include that?
I actually had a conversation with, because I wasn't at that meeting either, so I needed some clarification. I spoke to the chief about that, and also let's see, we talked about the status of the contract with AMR currently. And so in regards to the paramedics, he didn't not that it's his decision, but he didn't think that it was necessary for the GMLC to include that as a recommendation, that it's moving forward. You know, they always appreciate the GMLC's, you know, help in trying to, you know, improve their services so that they can meet these threshold standards. But in that particular case, he didn't feel like that was really necessary.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Which one, which recommendation is that?
About the support recruitment of paramedic and EMS firefighters.
Because he made, if I remember correctly, he actually made it that a point of that, that that's, they were trying to recruit
right.
from, that it was important for them to have that background.
Right, he was the one that told us that
he's
was
the one
that was
told
an issue.
That.
Yeah, he
made
was the
it
one
a
that
point.
Told
he talked about it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where they're, and they're having trouble finding those people.
Yeah.
That was the other thing he said.
Yeah, he said that it's not real common to have firefighters who are also paramedics.
Right.
And so so the city, there's not much the city can actually do if that pool of
right.
talent is not out there. There's, you know, not much that the city can do. So
well, how about if they just make it a requirement for the job? I mean, it's,
mm.
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean,
well, they said
if it's that, if he says it's
school.
That important, he's the fire chief,
yeah.
and he could just say, look, if you don't have this background, then you're not a candidate for the job.
It's just tough to find those people with both.
Right.
Well, that's what I mean. But if they
yeah.
make it a priority or criteria for the job, they can't find without it.
Right.
I'm
if
just
I,
saying.
At
the
recruitment.
You know,
yeah, but,
I'm, you know,
but even if it's a criteria, it's still going to be tough to find a firefighter paramedic out there. Like that's
mm-hmm.
the concern is that it's hard for them to find the people to fill the positions, much less make it a requirement, right? That was
yeah.
So like, I think Kim's point is this, we can say that, and we can say the city manager support, but I think they're already supporting them in doing that work. So is that the right statement, or do we even need to make a statement about it? Because
yeah, well, if the fire
yeah.
chief is saying, hey, you know,
so
I'm
he,
cool.
he thinks he has a handle on it and doesn't need.
Yeah, I think it's kind of beyond their control. It's like if that.
It's
those candidates aren't there, then you know. So it's just a matter of trying to get them.
And just to let you know, is that you can get a firefighter / paramedic,
oh, I know,
same person.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well,
because the city of Coronado, all of their
yeah.
firefighters
yeah.
are paramedics, so
right.
you can get that designation.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
In
yeah,
city of Coronado, all of them.
And
yeah.
Chula Vista switched over a number of years ago to do the same thing.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
And then also, too, on the, I think I had brought that up, too, on the recommendation as far as the cost, let me see, what does that say, cost effectiveness of the fire department taking over AMR. Then we also talk about that, too, because that's going to add to potential, because these are now going to be city employees. So if that's going to take, you know, 200 people to run that AMR, I'm just guessing, I don't know, it might be 500, it might only be 100, but I want to make sure that that gets included in that cost analysis too.
Right, that, and
because
that's called out in the discussion and the recommendation.
Is it, okay, I just want to make sure that that's clear in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I think it's clear.
Yeah, I thought it was a good recommendation.
Yeah. No, it is. I think they need to make sure.
Okay.
All right.
Fiscal.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
salaries and benefits. Yeah, that's fine.
So fiscal is also compliant. There was no recommendation. I did distribute a copy of a memo that includes responses to some questions that the commission had for the finance department when they were here
mm-hmm.
a couple weeks ago. They sent them to me in an email and attached the actuarial valuations as of June 30, 2018, for both public safety and non-public safety personnel. Those are very long documents, so I didn't print those up, but I emailed those to you if you want to look at those in detail. So I don't know if you had any questions or comments about these, if it would affect, you know, what you want to put in the report, or if this is just basically informational at this point.
So I missed this meeting too, but this was one of my topics that I was concerned about. I guess the amount is more than I was expecting for a city our size.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's a, I don't think there's a recommendation, but, you know, maybe a statement of concern about, you know, how are they going to pay for this?
Or even have some sort of graph that shows the distribution of money over time. I mean, all these retirees, I'm sure at some point, you know, the city's not going to be paying out to them, and then all the new employees that are coming in are now using the 401k system a little bit more mm-hmm. contribution.
Yeah, I
system.
Think. Well, they said I think the word was non-public safety employees are contributing more.
Mm-hmm.
I think is what the words that they said.
Yeah.
But to a defined pension benefit program, right? You guys don't have a 401k, do you?
Well, we have CalPERS, and then
CalPERS, which
right.
is the, which
yeah.
is a defined benefit.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
pension. And then we have optional deferred comp.
Right.
457.
As well, the 457s
mm-hmm.
and 459s and blah blah blah.
Yeah, and then he also said too, because I've kind of given this some thought too, because I thought I was gonna have a recommendation, but there's just so many things that, I mean, it would have been like four or five recommendations, honestly, but. He also said, too, that new tier employees, I think he called it, you know, new incoming city employees were on a different
mm-hmm.
type
yes.
of retirement plan. So
yeah.
he didn't really get into details. I wish he would have. Because, honestly, this is, like, my biggest concern. I mean, I know, you know, we keep kicking the can down the road, $350 million. I mean,
yeah.
so what does that come out, 7%? I mean, how much in interest
There's
is that?
There's actually been a lot of work done by city staff on this.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the reasons for the 10-year projected budget that our director has come up with, because the healthcare and pension are the biggest
things
in the city right now. And so
things, I mean.
They have been very strategic about trying to reduce the pension liability to the city, and that is, you know, there are three different tiers of employees. The newer ones don't benefit from the pension as much as those who, you know, are tier one or tier two.
Mm-hmm.
And then those who have been here longer, the tier ones, have been making more contributions, you know, in contract negotiations. That's just been part of the deal. You know, it's like employees realize that the city does have this, you know, financial burden hanging over its head, and that we all have to work together to make it work. So,
mm-hmm. What's the city doing as far as health care for the employees? I mean, are the employees pitching in more too?
What they do is they give the employees a certain amount of money towards health insurance every year, and you can use all of it. And sometimes, depending on how much health care you need for your family, you may have to supplement. And this is just for non-set public safety. Public safety has a completely different thing. Their expenses are generally covered for 100%. And then there's situations where, depending on the bargaining group that you're in, if you don't use all of the insurance money that they give you, you can cash it out. But that is something that's been changing in recent contract negotiations also, is that they're basically starting to eliminate that, or at least significantly reduce it. So
I guess my question here is...
You wanted to put a statement of concern?
I'm thinking a statement of concern, just because, you know, 7% on $345 million, $24 million a year.
Yeah.
You know, so the number's just going to go higher.
It's $500,000 a week, it sounds like.
Right, so
$100,000 in operating,
and maybe this Kim or Lonnie, you could help
mm-hmm.
us with this. Is, I mean, is there a? It's a hole that's just getting deeper. I mean, you know, and I understand this is, and I see the federal government all the time. That's where I work, but you know, it's different with business. But it is there anything that we can say or? I mean, my statement of concern would be like, what the hell are you guys doing? But I mean, that's not a good statement of concern.
Now you're starting to sound like me, man.
Yeah, you know, but I don't know. I'm looking, I mean, if you got suggestions here, I mean,
I'd say
and then what's politically correct to say.
To continue to look for ways to help reduce healthcare costs and pension costs. I mean,
well, it sounds like they're
really
kind of doing that. I mean, to me, it's not reduced. It's how do you get out of this hole?
Yeah.
And it's a combination of things. You've got to reduce it while it's not just one thing's going to solve it.
But reducing it isn't going to
I know. Reducing could mean a lot of things, I'm just saying, but that's what, they just got to give them some ideas that they got to start.
And I like that, and the reason why is because coming from a staff perspective, I know I'm not staff, you know, but also knowing what, and seeing the presentation that they did and knowing how big of a concern that they feel it is on the city's budget and operate, they get it, right? And I see that they're doing a whole lot of stuff to try to curb that, and they also know that you're thinking about it's a state program that we're in, mm-hmm. pretty much. So we have to wait on those tiers to keep continue to come out to reduce, you know, those unfunded liabilities over time. So I'm not sure how much a statement would impact, right? Like, what is the influence of our statement of concern, right?
Right.
To influence them to do more than what they're doing now.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless we have specific options that we can tell them.
Yeah.
Right. That, you know, they can look into.
Well, let me ask Lonnie and Kim. Do you guys have a buy down program that's in effect right now where you guys, or like a set aside fund, like it's a fund stabilization program, you know what I mean?
They're looking into that. They're going to put that in there over there.
Yeah, because some cities, what they're doing, they're setting funds aside mm-hmm. for like to address like these peaks. Mm-hmm. So that way, you know, anytime there's a peak boom, they divert money from the set aside fund, mm-hmm. so that way it doesn't.
Yeah.
Or they buy down the future mm-hmm. debt by paying more on that liability.
So I don't know, but I would echo your statements that mm-hmm. I think that all of us in the organization, whether we're finance or not, understand the sustainability of the issue that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our finance department takes it very, very seriously, and hence what Kim was alluding to about the 10-year projections. We're doing like 3-5-year budgets moving forward. I mean, there's not much more, I think, that we can do that's within our control. So.
Yeah, and they are, and that was my concern, is that if they were going to put in a pension stabilization fund, because I think that's probably one of the biggest things that they mm-hmm. can do and act on. Is start taking money and putting it in a pot to set aside.
Well, they do have several reserve funds, and they've been, I think they learned during the Great Recession that you can't put away too much money, essentially.
Right.
And so they're planning ahead that way. And the other thing is, its situation isn't unique to Chula Vista. It is pretty much statewide. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're, and I don't want to speak for anybody in particular, but I've heard some talk that they're hoping that the state legislation will change somehow that would give cities a break. So I'm not sure in what format that would be.
Well, but I guess as long as you feel good that they realize the concern, and there's not much. I mean, like I said, to me it's a crazy number, but
it's ridiculous. But I think that they do realize the concern. Like they did say that they're going to be putting it, they took it to council to get approved to do a pension stabilization fund, and I think that's going to be moving forward soon from what I remember.
What about early retirements with the city? Do they
They did Golden Handshake several years ago, but I don't think those are real
effective.
Sometimes they're short-term,
effective,
yeah.
But not long-term.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just depends on how much you're paying the new guy coming in. I mean,
Does the city happen to have any property it's not using that it can sell to a developer?
Oh, our economic development guy is all over that stuff.
You know, I mean, it's the first thing I think of. What does the city have of value that it can sell?
Yeah.
A garage sale.
Does that money go back into
the developer? I mean, they're not going to pay this down. I mean, it's
you can only
go
so far with that.
You know,
all right, well, San Diego Unified was in that situation. They were selling abandoned school sites, man.
Yeah.
Remember the one in Mission Viejo? Mission, whatever. I'm sorry.
So revenue generation is definitely something that they've been trying to focus on also, because if, you know, the city can bring in more revenue, this price tag won't look as bad, or any of the other, you know, fees that the city
has. Yeah, go to public safety, so.
Yeah.
So leave up, don't address.
I don't see anything we could really say besides
what do you want to say, Mr. Alec Torres, if he wants to say something.
I want that library.
Well, I mean, no, at this point, I mean, I'm just shocked by those numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is shocking.
I mean, if we're all concerned about it, we should put a statement. It sounds like everybody's concerned about it. I wouldn't worry about what the two gentlemen said because they're not part of GMOC.
That's true.
Yeah, so,
that's
true. I mean, it's up to us if we want to put something in there. I'm very concerned about it. I'm in that field. I've seen what happens when judges come in 15 years down the road and say, you know, you're going to get 50 or 40 cents on your
the
pension.
Dollar, yeah.
And I don't want that to happen to any of our employees. I'm not saying it's going to. Right now, we're kicking the can down the road, but it's not going to get paid down.
It could.
It's not going to, unfortunately, you know.
See, but I like your idea. The school system, some of them are at 50% or whatever. Consolidate. You've got property that can be used for other things.
But what would it cost to do that? I mean,
Is the state, I think, has a lot of control over that too, though, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And then remember, they also said it goes in cycles. So then, if the population goes up in 5 years, you don't have a school, you know.
But then you worry about it then.
But
right now, I mean, they said how many years has it been going down though? It's been consistently going down. I mean, it's not gone up. Mm-hmm. And it's not something unique to Chula Vista.
Yeah.
Right, it's a trend.
It's a state.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's something that's real.
All local government.
So why would you save these schools and have them half used and a little bit
here? Well, not only that, they're building new ones.
It's like, I don't get it.
To close a school down takes an act of Congress, though. Yeah. I mean,
let's not go down that rabbit hole.
So let's table this for now, because I don't have a good feel of what we could say that would provide any value.
That is in my mind. That is a big chunk of money, man, for this size.
Maybe
we
say something at the meeting, like you would.
Yeah, just mention it.
Mention
it as
part of your, you know, two minutes spiel, like, you know, what's wrong with you? All right, let's go ahead and go to the libraries.
Okay, libraries was non-compliant. And the recommendation was that the city council direct the city manager to prioritize construction of the Rancho Del Rey Library as soon as possible. So in the discussion, whether it's in Millennia or Rancho Del Rey, a large library is needed to bring this square footage closer to the threshold standard. I wasn't at the meeting where you had discussions about this, but I understood the takeaway was that, you know, there is still, you know, concern about where the money went for that library, and that, you know, the citizens were expecting it, and you feel, you know, an obligation to, you know, provide it.
I think we may have one more recommendation based on the earlier discussion.
Yeah, when the, information comes back.
So I just say we'd table that until we get more information, and we can make another recommendation based on that information.
About diversion of the library DIF funds.
Yep.
Which is a valid point.
So, okay. With that said, I mean, there's been some new developments that I was going to touch on because I'm also on the Measure A.
Council might tell you you can't talk about that here. Yeah.
Well, I'm the representative there, so I need to return some of that information. So the only point I want to bring up was that that there's more money projects to come in that they initially had estimated. So that's great news, right? We have more money coming in. So with that said, public safety has already moved their calculations around to hire more staff, more auxiliary staff in the short term, which is great. And I think they were saying that even when that all said and done, there's still going to be a little bit of surplus money that they're trying to figure out who's going to take that last bit of money to do whatever.
Whoa.
So with that, at some point, maybe it's not for this report, but moving ahead, to make a recommendation to kind of siphon whatever excess monies that are not calculated to throw that back into the Rancho Del Rey Library project, because it looks like over the past couple of years we fluctuated between Millennial and we'll be dependent on the developers for the Millennial site. Mm-hmm.
I just feel that the city has more control as to what's going on with the Rancho Del Rey Library and how to appropriate funds for that site. And it's so close to the fire station that I feel that you can refurbish that site to not necessarily say it's a library, but some sort of multi-purpose facility where firefighters, public safety staff, city staff can train. Maybe while they're building it up as like a skeleton building, while there's money being funneled in that direction.
So I think this goes with what we were saying earlier is these measures brought additional money in. Mm-hmm. The PIF, DIF, you know, could be redirected and do exactly what you're saying. So that's what I'm saying. I agree totally with you. I just think we need to be more educated on that other money and be able to use that money what it was intended for by public safety.
Yeah, because wasn't Measure A specifically for public safety staffing?
Yeah.
Right.
It would be very different. Yeah, I don't think we could
use
those funds.
Or Measure P?
Measure P, I think.
Measure P
more
would
for
be
that.
For infrastructure.
And that was specific to deal with not new facilities, but in existing infrastructure
maintenance. Well, that's my point. If you got these Measure A and Measure P, that it could be funded to use what they were funding, what they were using the money for the PIF DIF to fund.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got this other source of funding to fund that.
Right.
That PIF DIF can go back to where it was meant to be.
Yeah, the PIF DIF should not be used as a supplemental fund.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's where. At least in my mind, once we get the additional information, we make that recommendation. You know, now that you have this, you know, city council direct city manager.
Because if you say claw back from Measure A, they're going to tell you take a hike.
Right,
but
you used the money
anywhere.
As it was intended.
Yeah.
Since you got this other revenue that's going to fund these two items.
Don't use it as a supplemental fund, but if you, like I said, if you say you're going to claw back from Measure A fund to, like, they'll just laugh at you.
And I think that's a stronger case
than
trying to pull it from A or E.
Exactly.
But if what is it, Measure A? Which fund are you representing?
A.
So if they're bringing in more revenues than anticipated, then when the new budget comes out, can't they make modifications?
Bingo. And that's what I would say. If we get that in by next meeting, we can make that recommendation before the budget goes in.
I just have a feeling there's going to be a lot of commissions.
Maybe we should put something like that under fiscal then. I mean,
trying to get that extra money.
Because fiscal, really, under the discussion, doesn't say anything about Measure A or P funds in there at all. I mean, even though we know what it's for, but, I mean, maybe we could tie that in.
Yeah, but remember, too, is that at our last meeting when I brought that handout of that presentation that was made to City Council about the next 3 years, remember the structural deficit and prospective potential budget cutbacks the next 3 years, is that, you know, so that the thing that you have to be cognizant about, the city's going to get hit, you know, so the city's going to have to start looking by necessity, how's it going to be making up these deficits, and so everything is in play, and that's why I had thrown the question, remember, Gloria, as I threw the question, do you guys want to opine on this in any fashion or form? So with regard to this issue, then my counsel would be to just keep it, like you were saying, Chair, just keep it, you know, pretty focused, you know, and not get yourself into a tar pit, you know, if you will.
But from my perspective, I think we should also maybe add something around identifying other funding sources, because it doesn't just have to be city money to build the library.
Why not?
Right, so like, and I don't know how much
grants.
I don't know how much.
Oh, they've been active. There's a
partnerships and stuff
and in fact, it's brought up in the library section, at least in terms of operating costs. They get a lot of grants for those, but
so I see another recommendation there. I just think we need more information from the PIF DIF to make sure we direct it right.
Right.
Because they're usually funding now that they got something else to fund it with.
Right.
A and P.
Cool.
Okay.
recommendation, place priority one and two non-compliant. So the recommendation for one was that council direct city manager to support staff in expanding the drone program into Eastern Chula Vista. And the second one was that council direct the city manager to support police department's long-term staffing plan as presented to council in October 2019, which recommends adding three sworn positions to the general fund each year through fiscal year 2025 and a small number of civilian positions to provide for critical support needs. And then for the priority two, the issue was that it was not met, and I've the same two recommendations.
Did we have a number of, that defined small number?
No, she, there was, it was not defined.
So small number, single digits, or?
Yeah, I looked at the report I got from Joseph Walker, and it doesn't say.
Okay.
So remember at the, when we talked about this, is that, I don't know if Kim told everybody, is the issue about the substation on the east side,
uh-huh.
and that you had talked to the chief, and the chief recommended not to pursue that, right?
Correct, yeah. She said it would actually be more expensive to have a substation and wouldn't be as efficient as you would think. Yeah, so ultimately, she would not be supportive.
Okay.
I have a question. Regarding the recommendation for a small number of civilian positions, wasn't it brought up that they weren't, that those positions already kind of sort of existed, except because they had to go through the same type of boot camp type of training, they didn't want to do it. Civilians didn't want to go into volunteer or to take on the task because they weren't getting paid for it. I don't know if that's what meant by civilian positions, like volunteers.
Oh,
you're
no.
talking about the reserve program.
Yeah, I guess.
I asked the question, yeah.
Yeah, reserve is different.
Oh, so it's not the civilian position?
Yeah, it's like CSOs. Some forensic. They're all non-sworn civilians.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
But they're non-officers.
Yeah, now the community service officers, even though they wear uniforms and stuff, they're not sworn. They're considered civilians, and
that's who I was thinking this was addressed to.
Right, the ones you were talking about were the volunteer police officers.
Yeah,
and
those
they
ones have to go through the complete training.
Yeah.
On their own day.
I think they're looking for some like CSOs to help, because as there's more officers who are responding to more incidents, there's going to be more reports, and so they'd like to have the support staff so that the officers can be more in the field and be more proactive and stuff like that.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to schools.
Schools is compliant and no recommendations.
Oh, can I make one?
Sure.
Okay. Actually, where is the... And again, this is for you guys to consider. If you don't want to do it, that's cool with me. Under schools, under the municipal code, is that, bear with me please, as a possible suggestion, that the threshold that's in existence right now under the municipal code, remember we talked about this, was evaluation of funding and site availability for projected new facilities identified. So my thought was that a recommendation is to amend that threshold, which is what, 4C, I think that's the way it's listed, 4C under the Muni code, to include evaluation of bond and Belarus funding and expenditures and site availability. So that way it's a little bit more specific. So that
amend the threshold, or that's a recommendation?
A recommendation to amend that specific threshold. Or, again, like Leilani was saying, this could be something as part of the comprehensive review, but I thought, you know, maybe if you guys want to take it now, throw that out there now. What do you think?
Well, in the past, like with police, for instance, priority two, mm-hmm. in past reports, commissioners did make recommendations that the threshold standard be reevaluated, but it was more in general terms rather than getting this specific, because you may want to do more vetting, you know, getting more stakeholder input and stuff mm-hmm. before you get that specific.
Well, so how about this? How about the suggestion by, well, and again, I have a certain agenda as I convey to you guys, because I'm on that audit finance committee, is that, well...
Are you worried about what they're doing with the funds?
I just wanted more specific. I wanted the GMOC to get real information, because remember when they gave the report, the school's report, they didn't talk anything about funding, right? They just talked about, hey, we're going to build these schools, you know, the new school sites, so we have enough capacity. Nothing. There was no information about funding. So, and really, the school districts get funding from bond, you know, like, you know, Sweetwater Unified has a bond O and double B, I think it is, but also the Miller Roos, right? Mm-hmm. And remember when I asked that lady about, are these two school sites that are getting new buildings, how are they being financed, was through Miller Roos. So, the only reason why I'm throwing this out is because I think the GMOC needs to be informed, does the school district have the money? I mean, you know, from its pot, from its respective pots, and are they available to be used for their intended purposes to address future growth and yada, yada. But
so would this be part of the overall review?
That's what I'm thinking.
It would be, but I do think that, you know, the questionnaires currently do ask, have you identified funding for necessary schools? And they say either yes or no. And I'm wondering if this is kind of digging in the weeds outside of the Growth Management Oversight Commission's purview. Just throwing that out there. I don't know. I'm just thinking that getting in the weeds a little specific for something that we really don't have much control over, because it is state, run and whatnot. So
yeah, well, maybe let's just leave it for the next comprehensive review. So
okay.
I'll defer. Okay.
Right. Okay. Sewer.
that one was also compliant. No. Recommendation. Non-compliant, and the recommendation was, and we're looking at page 23 now, that the city council direct the city manager to aggressively pursue funding for all the regional transportation projects in Chula Vista. So there was some discussion about Transnet projects and stuff, and I had a discussion with Frank Rivera about it, to see what made the most sense in terms of wording for this recommendation. So that's what we recommended. Does that sound
good? What was our recommendation a couple years ago? We didn't have to do something with industrial and because of the traffic backing
the,
up. And
the grade separation?
Yeah, whatever happened with that? Were we losing sight of that? Or?
Well, no, because it's they've been making significant progress.
Okay.
So at this point, the environmental document is slated to go to council in January.
Okay.
And they met with Sandeg, who has allocated $5 million to pursue design for the project. And Scott, you may know more about this than I do, because you're a transportation engineer. So feel free to chime in.
I think you're right. They've made significant strides. You know,
mm-hmm.
it had been a project that had been around for a while, and now it's starting to move forward.
Yeah.
So when's the estimated date of completion on that?
5 years.
In 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they still need...
So that's already in the works.
They still need construction funding, but Frank Rivera is all over this. I mean, mm-hmm. he knows deadlines and you know, all the resources to get the funding.
So I guess my question was, so that's not something we need to worry about anymore? I mean, because that was a recommendation at one time, but I
yeah.
just kind of I lost it. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
and
know what happened with
it. It's still brought up in the discussion.
Yeah.
But it also gives an update on where we stand,
okay.
you know, that progress is being made.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So do we want to talk about Rodney's email as a potential item? For
so let's finish off this. So that was
okay.
the last one. Any other comments on the report?
Oh, and water. Just water.
Oh, yeah, you just did water. Go ahead.
That's
water.
All right. Yeah, so water's compliant, no recommendations.
All right, so we have a couple of comments in here that we still need to, or a couple of possible recommendations that we need to look at the next meeting, and then we can finalize the report.
Okay, so just to review them, for the chair cover memo, under libraries, we're going to make a change. We're going to add some verbiage about the fictive report. And then also there'll be a sentence before the second sentence in the second paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Down in regarding PD, I think we decided not to include... No, we are going to include a statement in the second sentence, second paragraph. And then on the next page, at the end, when we were talking about the comprehensive review, we decided
not to include that.
Yeah. And then, let's see.
The one under libraries. And one under...
Yes. Libraries, once we get some information regarding FICTIV and... What was the other one? I've not seen it on my notes here.
It was financial or fiscal. We settled against that.
Oh, okay. So is it just libraries then? Yeah,
I think it's just libraries.
Okay. So to be clear, then I'll talk to Tiffany or Scott and
we can
tag team on this, and we'll we just need to identify where the funding has gone, and is there a possibility of getting the funds to move forward? Yeah.
That sounds good.
All right.
And then Ed is. Add the statement for him on how to do that recommendation, how to word that recommendation once we get that information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because currently the recommendation in here just says to prioritize construction of the Rancho Del Rey Library as soon as possible.
Right, but if we could tell him where the funding could possibly come from,
mm-hmm.
because they're redirect, put the money where it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so that concludes the item there. So other business, staff comments?
Let's see. So I won't be here for that final meeting, but you'll be in the capable hands of Mr. Barker here.
you
so
want to talk about your
I'll
item?
Try to get everything in and in a condition where you guys will be satisfied. To move forward in January. I can't think of anything else. Staff comments from Scott or Leilani
no.
or council? No? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Claudia, sorry.
Claudia. Chair comments. Only comment I had really was about the threshold standard review.
Yes.
What's the schedule? What's you know, after we do our joint
mm-hmm.
committee meeting with
yeah.
planning to the city council,
mm-hmm.
what's next?
This isn't cast in stone, but I think probably the third Thursday in February is when we'd meet again to go over the schedule and process. I was talking to Rod about this earlier, that there won't be much of a break this time because, you know, we'll be working on a comprehensive review. But it may be only one meeting a month rather than two, because in the meantime we'll be doing, like, workshops and stuff with stakeholders and stuff, and you won't have to be at all those. We'll be reporting back. And
okay. All right. Commissioner comments?
I'll just let you know, Scott, again, I'll call Kelly, and based on the information by Leilani and Kim, then we'll talk about, you know, how do we address this matter for the planning committee, maybe just a general discussion or blah, blah, blah.
I talked to Kim today because a couple weeks ago I inquired about, you know, like some of the things that we talk about here each and every meeting, you know, about the roles and the GMOC functions and duties. So I was reading the municipal code, so, you know, she asked me to compose a couple questions, so I finally got around to doing that today, you know, that was in regards to the municipal code. So, you know, it just real quick, I mean, my interpretation of the municipal code, and that's what I asked to get an opinion and explanation on three or four different sections of the municipal code for the GMOC on what really the GMOC is really supposed to be doing. Because the way I see GMOC, and I think Dwayne said it perfect earlier, that, you know, we're supposed to be growth management oversight, but really we're not really, how can we effectively manage growth when we're not really involved in, like, decisions that affect growth?
Well, but you are, by establishing the threshold standards. You're saying this is the threshold, and you're monitoring to see if they are complying with that threshold.
Right, so, but what I'm saying, though, is if you read the municipal code, it says, it looks like, that's why I want to get the interpretation, it looks like that we're really supposed to be doing more than that. Mm-hmm. Like, it, you know, if you read it, and it's just, like I said, it was my interpretation about it, so that's why I sent it to everybody, because I wanted everybody to see it. So I would like to have a discussion on it, and I think it kind of goes in at fitting in with the threshold standards. I mean, what really are we supposed to be doing? Because to me, it seems like the GMOC is very reactionary, very reactive. So if we're supposed to be managing growth, but yet we're not knowing what's going on throughout the year, we're getting all the aftermath, and then now we're just putting out fires, let's just call it. You know, so, but when you read the municipal code, it stresses development, you know, and it says, you know, GMOC is supposed to be chiming in on projects on an individual basis and on a cumulative basis. And we're not doing that. We don't do that. So, and there's other things in there. I'm just saying. So that was one of the things that I just wanted to get an interpretation on to see.
So if you could forward this to our council.
One
thing, if we can get you guys to comment on it and just, I mean, I think this goes with the overall review.
Right, the comprehensive review.
But I think we just need to see if this is still true, have we not been doing something?
Yeah.
Or have we been doing something?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what's the path forward?
Yeah.
Is my concern.
Right.
So, yeah,
that's all I want to get, just to
on.
See if it's...
And then I just wanted to mention, I just wanted to caution you that you did send it to everyone, and it's probably best just so that we don't violate any of
the Brown Act
requirements, to just send it to me directly rather than to your fellow commissioners.
Oh,
and then I'll distribute, because we want to make sure that we don't have any accidental discussions. Because sometimes we reply, you know, and we skid an email,
okay.
And we don't want to have...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Okay.
I just wanted to give an update, per se, on the Measure A.
Oh, good.
Citizens Oversight Committee. So we had a meeting last week, and I apologize for not being at this meeting, actually 2 weeks ago, because I was double booked. I was at that committee instead of this one.
Uh-huh.
So just to go over briefly some of the things that have been talked about extensively are the different departments' expenditure plans and going all the way to fiscal year 23. So there's a series of charts involved, and I think the fire department has touched on this through their 4-0 staffing requirements. That's their intent of using some of that Measure A money, and we could already see some of the positive effects from that change as in regards to response times. So that's good to see how the Measure A money in real time is benefiting the city. The couple things were moved around from different fiscal years due to necessity and auxiliary staffing to help the sworn officers or the firefighters as well. So this is all, the plan is to have a website be created by the city to go online sometime soon. So if you go on the website now, on the city website, you see a mark for Measure P, and you can access Measure P. Sometime soon, you're going to see one for Measure A. So any questions people might have about Measure A, you can redirect them to the website. You know, I've been on that committee for a year, and I still have some doubts or some questions about the money and how to allocate the money and how maybe we can use money for different purposes. It's going to be a non-inclusive place that you can tell people in the community they can go and access that, which is great. Police department has made some gains in their recruiting efforts. Don't recall the number, but there was an impressive number. Give credit to Chief Kennedy for ability to hire people and also have lateral movement from other departments into our city. And it's nice to see that if you go on to the city's website regarding jobs, you're going to see there that there's a job offering for lateral movement of police department or sworn officers. So that's good to see. That again, also part of Measure A. And then an area of interest that we've been talking about, and I think it's kind of a fascinating thing moving forward, is City Attorney Goggins talking about the funding options for the City Prosecutor Neighborhood Protection Unit. Specifically, they're using some Measure A money there to help hire a criminal prosecutor to help with the illegal dispensaries in the city. And they are asking for some funds to get some auxiliary staffing to help in that unit. I think that's something moving forward that will not only make the city safer, but can actually generate some funds back into the city. So you can see Measure A money can possibly be bringing in money to the general fund in the future through this unit as well. So I would say stay tuned for that, and I think that's it. And I did mention earlier that there was an estimated surplus coming in from what they had budgeted. So they're trying to figure out where that extra money is going to go to, or who's going to use that extra money. And what else? I think I'm missing something else that they talked about. So the projections. I don't think are finalized. I think we're being told that as of the next meeting coming up, they're going to have some concrete numbers as to exactly how much revenue came in during this quarter. So that's something that I will be reporting probably in the next meeting.
Okay.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Strong. Laura? No. Okay, I think we're...
Yep. That's it.
We're good. Thank you, everybody.
Motion to adjourn.
I second.
No.